Welcome into Locked On Knicks Friday edition. Getting ready for the Nets game tonight. Alex Wolf here, Gavin Shaw over in the city, and we'll be breaking that one down for you guys today.
Yeah, we're going to get into Mitchell Robinson's potential return. David Fizdale coming out and saying he was probably going to start Bobby Portis even if Mitch was healthy, and we'll see if that's true against the Nets as well. And then just some final notes on Alex clowning the Nets and breaking down the matchup a little bit. All that and more next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knox foul from behind, count and one. Fizdale
pokes
his fist.
What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane to Trier. Trier drives.
Becomes infectious.
All right, welcome in everyone to Locked On Knicks. It's a Friday edition. Little show today. Nothing too crazy going on, but we can't help but preview the Nets action a little bit here. Knicks versus Nets. First game of this supposed contentious rivalry that doesn't really actually have much of a history of being a rivalry. Gavin, you have some intimate experience with the enemy for this game. Luckily, we've almost, you know, bleached all the Nets filth out of your system at this point, but you still get accused on Twitter of being a Nets homer at times.
I would say by only the most insane of our fan base, who I
most passionate. Call them passionate.
I don't know. Our boy Don Bolo toes the line a little bit. Shout out to him. Hope he's listening. Hope he's having a great night. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm pretty objective. I strive to be objective. I hope people see that, but I do appreciate it. I think it's very quintessentially New York that almost no matter what I say, I could be accused of that. So, and also that would be the end of the world if it were true. I made it very clear. I don't hate the Nets. I don't love the Nets. I don't hate the Nets.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious personally.
Although, yeah, no, I know you enjoy it. you're inherently such a favorite because you're like, fuck the Nets, and people are like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just what I do, man. I can't help myself. I mean, you know,
it call works the clown. Really well for you.
At any rate, Gavin, I think our most exciting news to talk about today is that the delayed debut of Mitchell Robinson is apparently on track to take place tonight in the game against the Nets. So that is cool. I figure we should probably talk about that first. I mean, do you think it's going to be like there's like that and the fact that David Fizdale said in his comments after the game on Wednesday that he was actually considering starting Bobby Portis over Mitch anyway, regardless of if Mitch was hurt or not on Wednesday for the opener. And that didn't quite rub me the right way. I mean, what are you thinking as far as what we might see out of Mitch in this first game?
First of all, I just want to say, I think David Fizdale should be fired on the spot if Mitch is fully healthy and Bobby Portis jogs out there. That's just nuts. Like even like, let's just say, and this isn't true, but if they were equal players and Portis was just really good on offense and Mitch was just really good on defense, you would probably want to start Mitch because they desperately need the defense, and not that they don't need offense, but I don't think Portis really fits with the starting lineup with him being such a shoot first, shoot always player and a bunch of guys in the starting lineup fitting that profile. You sort of want that coming off the bench and creating a little bit more balance. And I think Mitch, like Frank, it's not going to happen. And maybe right now it doesn't deserve to happen for him, but Mitch like Frank is a good fit just because he doesn't need the ball that often. And he's a lob threat and he's a guy who can score off of rebounds and putbacks. And you have so many guys who want the ball and want to shoot. You just sort of need that balance. And I think objectively it's clear that makes him a better piece next to guys like Julius Randle and Marcus Morris. And then even beyond that, he's just so obviously a better player. Even beyond that, he's the Knicks' future. Bobby Portis is probably going to be here for 1 year. So I would think that would be insane to start Bobby Portis.
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious from that first game that, like, the last thing that the Knicks need out there is Bobby Portis next to Julius Randle, like, eating up potential Julius Randle shot opportunities. Like, I actually think there's real value to potentially running Portis and Taj Gibson off the bench to offer sort of like a imitation of what Randle and Mitch can offer you in a way, because like Gibson plays good defense, like good enough on the inside to like keep teams away from the paint for the most part. And even if he's not an elite shot blocker like Mitch is, and like Portis just kind of offers a similar brand of offensive ball, at least to what Randle does, with less passing, but, you know, similar efficiency on like post-ups and stuff like that, and a similar percentage from three, things of that nature. So like, I think that's definitely the way to go. Cause then I don't know, Gavin, maybe this is interesting. This is an interesting discussion. Maybe just like a quick aside here. What do you think? Like, I've always been of the belief that the best way to do things ideally, like with substitution patterns and stuff, is like, if you can keep the same general energy at all times, unless you need to adjust, like for certain things, like going small, obviously that's like its own thing of trying to, you know, run teams off the floor or whatever. But like in general, if you're going by your game plan and things are going well, I think there's real value in like having guys that are kind of an imitation of the player that they're replacing. So like, it, you know, in terms of the front court for the Knicks, it would be like, I think that starting Randle and Robinson makes a ton of sense because I think they fit well together. And then like, if you're going to bring two bigs off the bench to replace those two, I would probably bring in Portis and Gibson to sort of give, you know, some sort of similar look to what you get with your starters out there.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and I'd be intrigued to go over past championship teams or winning teams and see if that was a trend. Because we were just, I mean, pre-show talking about how amazing the Clippers look. And what I kind of admire with them is that they have this like massive stylistic contrast between their, at least the key pieces in their starting lineup and their bench guys. Like their starters this year are going to be defined by the two-way brilliance of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And then they're off the bench. They just have that all-time, I mean, at least as far as a bench unit, pick and roll combo of Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. And it's these two different types of dynamic duos. And obviously George and Kawhi are a lot better, but in terms of relative dominance, they're similar and they get it done in these completely different ways. For the Knicks, I sort of agree with you. I think you just need to strive for not just offense-defense balance, but on offense, guys who need the ball, guys who don't need the ball, guys who are willing to set picks, guys who are willing to crash the glass, guys who are skilled at scoring in terms of isolation basketball, because you just don't have the star power to say, hey, we're just going to throw out guys that are flat out better. It doesn't really matter how they do it. They're going to win regardless. You sort of have to win by striving for balance and ensuring you don't go too far in either direction, because that's just the makeup of this Knicks roster. So I think for this particular team, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, definitely. How many, I guess, like, I'm also kind of on the fence as far as Mitch goes. I think I do want to see him start. I also kind of don't know if I want to see him play more than about 20 minutes, depending on how he's looking out there. I don't really want to test his ankle too much, particularly when we're on the back-to-back. Like, because I'd also like him to be available to, like, completely destroy Enes Kanter's life on Saturday night as well. So I think personally, I'm kind of hoping that he gets a little bit of a minutes restriction tonight in this game, but that might just be me.
Yeah, that might be more important. Maybe they should just keep him like on ice for this game, like just throw him in a jacuzzi and say, "Hey, man, get 110%. We need you to go kick some ass tomorrow." But yeah, I don't need them to push him. I mean, presumably, I would hope if he's like not fully healthy, they wouldn't even play him. But obviously, ankles are tricky, and he's a guy who inherently, by the way he plays, puts a lot of pressure on his ankles. So I'm kind of with you. I don't think he needs to play a whole lot, especially with the Nets center rotation. That's not, I mean, obviously, like, you need him for rim protection, and against a guy like Kyrie Irving, like, he's probably the best possible dude you could have out there. But purely in terms of one-on-one matchups, like, it's not like Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan are going to totally be the focus of their offense anyways. I would sort of play it by ear and see how effective he is when he plays.
Well, luckily, you don't even need Mitch out there against DeAndre Jordan now, because it's pretty apparent, based off one game at least, that DeAndre Jordan can't really jump anymore and is getting paid $40 million for the next 4 years from the Nets.
I mean, he was literally like, he was a human tax. I think Zach Lowe described him as a $40 million publicist today. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you signed like the star actress, you got to deal with their publicist. He's sort of that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's going to be like one of the worst contracts. I mean, he's not even getting paid like dollars and cents like that much. Like, 4 years, $40 million isn't like insane in today's NBA. But if in year one, he literally looks like he can't
he's
get washed off the ground anymore, like, it's going to be a rough 4 years with that contract. That may even did Durant and Irving both sign full? They signed 3+1s, didn't they?
Or did they
sign full 4 year deals?
No, I think it was 3+1s.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally a chance that DeAndre Jordan could be left there on his own in that fourth year.
I would hope they would insist on whatever team they end up on, like, trading for DeAndre just to do the Nets a solid. And
that would be freaking hilarious if they just like kept like getting DeAndre Jordan paid for the rest of his life. And we're going to take a quick break. Just a reminder that today's show is brought to you in part by Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Hey, are you in the New York area and looking to promote your business to a young, predominantly male demographic?
Then Locked On Knicks is the podcast for you. 80% of our listeners fall between the ages of 18 and 44, and 98% of those listeners are male. As the top Knicks podcast on the market, we offer a unique opportunity to engage with basketball fans in the city.
If interested in an ad spot or live read, email lockedonknicks@gmail.com for more information on pricing and availability. Our rates are very affordable compared to radio and offer a chance to reach an audience on an ever-growing platform.
I wonder, like, do you think, like, I mean, I would genuinely love for a superstar to do this. Could Kevin Durant just be like, hey, I want my friend Rick on the team? And they're like, okay, like, what's like, he's like a 3-and-D guy? And they're like, no, he's like a 5'5" computer analyst. That's what he does.
I mean, it's not quite the same thing, obviously, because it's an actual NBA talent. But I mean, Kawhi Leonard basically did that. Like, he was like, I'll sign with the Clippers, but you have to trade literally whatever it takes to get Paul George. And they were like, okay, I mean, well, I guess we'll do this.
Wait, I just realized, I mean, the all-time example of this is former Nick J.R. Smith,
Chris
Smith, who is not an NBA talent on the team. I mean, that's, I think, true. Like, honestly, like, once you get to that level, like, I think Chris Smith is about as effective as you or I in a game, maybe even less so, because I think we would probably both be too scared to shoot. And Chris Smith definitely isn't.
We at least know our role. Like, I would be like, yeah, maybe I'll get a rebound. I weigh about as much as an NBA player. I don't know if I'm quite as dexterous, but I can box somebody out.
You're right there. We have some good size between. We could box out some of the more diminutive point guards in the league. But I genuinely believe if Kevin Durant wanted the Nets to sign like a 5'3" dude, like, they would just be like, okay, sure. Like,
yeah.
What are we getting? We're $40 million. All right, whatever, Kevin. Because, I mean, that's the nature of a salary cap league. You're getting Durant at a massive discount relative to, like, open market. Like, what would there are teams that would give 70% of their cap to sign Kevin Durant. But, I mean, that's not plausible. So if the way he makes that up is by, like, hey, sign my friend, then you're just like, all right, cool. So I don't know. In a way, it makes total sense, but I get where it's fun to climb the Nets for it too.
You would just have to hope that, unlike J.R. Smith, Durant would be smart enough to just accept the gesture when they cut him like one game into the season and just gave him his guaranteed money and let him walk, because that was the whole thing with Chris Smith, was that the Knicks signed him to the roster and then like they cut him like 2 days into the season because they're like, okay, this is over. And they still gave him like every cent of his $1 million guaranteed deal. And J.R. Smith took that as a huge, like, slap in the face that they gave his brother, like, $1 million for free. It was just ridiculous. I don't know. It was like, it felt like a signing bonus for JR. Like, I feel like Chris Smith probably like transferred like half that money to JR to be like, thanks, buddy. Like,
that was
appreciate
awesome.
That.
Really cool of you. I'm going to Europe. Bye.
Yeah. I don't even know if he went to Europe. He's playing in the YMCA league.
Yeah. I did. I didn't want to call him out, but I did have a run with him the other week. He's a little out of shape. But
yeah. All right. Moving right along, though. One thing that I've been thinking about going into this game is Frank Ntilikina. Not that I don't think about him constantly, but I'm kind of curious, like, what are your thoughts? Like, obviously, Trier is not going to start at point guard if Fizdale has any sense. It should be Alfred Payton. But I'm actually kind of the opinion that despite the fact that, like, we talked about, you know, the other night that Frank, like, obviously had a rough 3 minutes, gave up two pretty key turnovers, but had two decent looking moments right before that that will go unrecognized because the assist that he had didn't end up counting because it got flubbed, and the basket that he had didn't end up counting because a goaltend wasn't called. But like, I actually think that based off what we saw the other night, that he should be the first guy off the bench, particularly because he has a real demonstrated history of playing well against both the Brooklyn Nets as a whole in his career and against Kyrie Irving in his career. Like, I would want to get him warmed up for Kemba Walker as well on Saturday night, who he obviously like destroyed in FIBA over the summer. So I don't know. What do you think about Frank? Like, what do you think his role should be in this game?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's almost more like helpful to think about it in what it will be, because I mean, you know, I'm in total agreement with you, but I think this is just a major blind spot for David Fizdale. And we saw it all of last year with Emmanuel Mudiay continuing to be given shots and like a pretty significant role, even when like I was sort of the opinion, like, you know, like I think Kadeem Allen is like honestly like a more productive player with how he plays. And I think we're going to see that again with Dennis Smith Jr., where even when he's inefficient, even when he's just not improving the other guys on the floor, Fizdale's like, you know what, he's flashy, he can occasionally get to the rim, he's more explosive, and he's gonna value, I mean, sort of like the like cosmetics of that over playing Frank and some kick-ass defense. And this hurts to say because Frank is such a handsome young man, but like Fizdale's like the type of guy who, again, analogy here, not saying this in real life, who just goes for like the really hot girl with like no substance versus like someone like genuinely cool and like interesting. And he's like, no, DSJ can dunk. I think he's the best. I don't care about your nuance and your defense. And again, like Frank shot like 28% from the field in preseason, so it's not quite as clear cut as I'm making it out to be. But again, a Kyrie Irving or a Kemba Walker, like, he's going to make a big difference on one end of the floor. And right now DSJ is making a difference on neither end of the floor. To me, that should make the decision pretty simple, right?
Yeah, I think so as well. I will say, I do think that DSJ possibly worked his way into the doghouse in that first game because he didn't get any minutes in the second half. Right. If I'm not mistaken,
he literally played the one stretch and that was it.
Yeah. He got the one stretch in the second quarter and that was enough. And, you know, he didn't see another minute after that. So, and Fizdale went to Frank before he never tried to go back to DSJ in the second half, and he did try Frank out for at least a little bit. So I don't know. I mean, I would hope that Fizdale looks at it and is just like, I pulled Frank because he turned it over twice and it was a close game, and we wanted to try to win that game and we were in position to win it, you know, until that run really got sparked. But hopefully he doesn't just like linger on those turnovers and looks at the couple good plays that Frank made before that. Whereas, like, as you just said, I can think of like one good play that Dennis Smith had in that whole first game. And it was literally just, it was that quick give and go that he ran with. It was either Portis or Randall. I forget. One of them was out at the top of the key and he just, you know, was coming from the side quickly, you know, passed to them. They passed it back to him and he just blitzed to the hoop. That was great. That was like what you want to see out of him. But everything else was just really ugly, and I still think he's hurting from that injury. So maybe give him a couple minutes in garbage time if it hits that in this one, you know, if the Knicks are up or down or whatever. But if this is like a close competitive game, I honestly don't think I would want him out there. You know what my favorite part about this time of year is? Sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. Pro and college ball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel a part of the action than to have a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. You know what? Let me float this by you, because I thought about this today. I think someone said this in the posting and toasting Slack today as well. I'd love to attribute it, but I forget who it was that said it. But like, I think DSJ could maybe benefit from going to the G League. Like, just for a couple weeks, almost like a rehab assignment for baseball, you know, since like clearly it seems like he's still kind of step slow and doesn't seem to quite have his confidence there right now. Like, we've talked about that for the last couple years with Frank even, and I would support that sort of thing, you know, if they had ever wanted to do it in the past 2 years. This year, I don't know if he necessarily needs that. I think he just needs to develop his skills at the NBA level at this point, because he seems healthy and everything. But like with DSJ, he's clearly hurt. He's clearly hampered right now. Like, I think it would be beneficial for him to go down to the G League, just get some reps and like, hopefully like kick ass down there, you know, and like get his confidence back. Cause he doesn't seem to be operating with a lot of it right now.
Yeah. I don't mind that at all. I mean, you would think, like, it seemed like he was mostly playing like rec league games over the summer against Trae Young, who's as talented as he's offensively, like eminently like torchable on the other end. And it seemed like DSJ was doing that. So I would have hoped like that would have been sort of a confidence boost for him. But yeah, I mean, I just think he needs like the right setting to work on his shot. And I remember you said yesterday, someone on Twitter, or maybe it was a Knicks beat writer, mentioned that his shot looked even more broken than Fultz. And like, what did Fultz have to do? Like, I think if I remember correctly, Philly gave him some time in the G League and maybe should have even given him more there. Like, he should just have absolute freedom. Like, to me, like more than any other aspect of his game, to really get his shot right, because I'm sure he put work, like a ton of work into it this summer. And it would shock me if it wasn't a little bit improved, but it looks so broken right now because, and this is what happens when you change your form. Like, anyone who's played basketball and has done this before knows it takes a long time for it to be usable in a game setting. Like, sometimes it even takes a full year to be totally comfortable with it. And if you're sort of going in between and saying, okay, I want to keep practicing the new shot because I know long term it's going to be really good for me, and then simultaneously you're just more comfortable with what you used to do and you're going somewhere in between, it's going to look really, really ugly. And that's sort of my theory on what's happening with him right now. So I think playing in the G League against some lesser athletes, being the entire focus of a team, getting to play 40 minutes a night and just really work through that and being able to trust that shot, not going up against NBA level defenders, and just work on it, I think that's the best thing for him. So I'm of the opinion that's a great idea. And also, it just cleans up the point guard rotation a little bit. And I think it makes things a little easier on Fizdale that he doesn't have to just look at him sitting on the bench the entire game.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, I do think, I wonder if maybe there would be some kickback from the front office, like if Fizdale would suggest sending him down there potentially. Because I definitely think Perry has a lot invested in Smith. I mean, because obviously, like, Smith was of the players involved, he was the centerpiece of the Porzingis trade from the Knicks side. Obviously, they got the two first-round picks, which I think in future years will prove pretty useful one way or the other. But the you know, getting back Smith was like the player that's, you know, he was a lotto pick right after Frank. He had already shown some promise in Dallas. Like, I feel like maybe there's going to be some organizational pressure to quote unquote get him right, like Emmanuel Mudiay last year. So I worry a little bit about that, because I think I don't know. I just wish, like, and this is like kind of an existential thing, but basketball is still like easing into having a minor league and what that means to it. And I wish that, like the mentality, like what they have in baseball, would come along quicker with the NBA of like, it's not like something that should hurt your pride if you go down to the minors for a little bit and like screw around and get yourself like back to where you need to be. It should just be like something that you're like signing up for. I mean, like if they could send Smith to the G League, like think about it, like they play in Westchester and the training facility is right around there. So he would be like real local, like he could go train at his home practice facility and then go just play some, you know, whatever games at the G League place and, you know, like hopefully put up some good numbers, get his confidence back, whatever, have like constant like Knicks team attention on him, you know, making sure that he's, you know, getting his shooting form right and everything like that. Like I think it would just be so beneficial, and you could do this like all the time, especially in the case of like young players, or even treat it like, you know, like they treat it in baseball and do like rehab assignments and stuff. Like if you have a guy coming immediately back from injury, you'd be like, hey, go play one game with the Westchester Knicks. Just make sure that you're feeling good, you know, work the rust off real quick. That way, the second you come back to us, you're going to be in good shape. And, you know, you won't be like a liability out there. So
I don't know. Can you imagine just James Harden coming off of injury and then being like, hey, James, you got to do just one game down there. He would score like 90 points.
But you know what? It would be great for the G League, too, if you think about it. Like if that became like more acceptable, like if it wasn't looked at as like this like red mark on your record or whatever, like, oh, James Harden had to play a G League game. If it was like, yeah, he went down there for a rehab start. Think about like the Trenton Thunder whenever like A-Rod would make a rehab start there. You know what I mean? Like that juices the whole building and like it props the whole sport up for a night. Like all of a sudden you've got people giving a crap about the minor leagues for a night and people like recognize team names and stuff. Then I think it would be very, very beneficial for the G League.
Yeah, no, I like it. I just think it's cool. I always, I'm not a huge baseball person, but like that's one of the more interesting aspects of it to me when a superstar goes down to the minor leagues for a game. I just get like a kick out of it. And I'm sure the players down there, like it makes their dreams feel a little bit more tangible. So that's pretty cool. No argument for me. All right, Alex, to wrap this one up, what's your prediction on how this game goes for the Knicks?
Well, first, I'll predict the lineup. I think it's going to be Peyton. I think it's going to be Peyton's going to get the start. We're going to get RJ Morris and Randall again, although I low-key kind of wish it was RJ Knox and Randall maybe. Sure. And then center should hopefully be Mitchell Robinson if he's good enough to go. If not, I think it'll be Portis again, much to our chagrin. And then prediction-wise, I actually, man, like, I don't want to get too bold, but I actually think the Knicks are going to win. Because I think they're going to carry over, like, having a real starting point guard out there to start with, like, someone who actually plays the point guard position and can do things like Peyton did the other night. I think he's going to harass the crap out of Kyrie Irving. Whether Kyrie still goes off for a decent amount of points or not is another story. But I think that, like, Peyton's going to be creating some of the same pressure at the point of attack that he did in the first game that led to all those turnovers for the Spurs. And the Spurs are, quite frankly, one of the most crisp passing teams in the league. So the fact that the Knicks were able to force that many turnovers on them is an accomplishment in and of itself. I think the Knicks are going to be playing that same brand of swarming D. And I don't think it's necessarily going to be a blowout, but I think they'll win by like 6 or 7 points, something like that. Maybe go up by as much as like 15. I think they're going to kind of surprise the Nets quite a bit. And as usual, it'll be more or less like half a home game for the Knicks because Brooklyn could not even sell out. Well, maybe they sold it out, but they cannot fill up their building for their home opener. And wait, I have to also just very quickly mention, we talked about this pre-show. I just have to revel in this moment for a minute. The Nets were announcing all their players just like for the start of the season, like giving everybody their quick moment of shine. And so they, of course, brought out Kevin Durant in a suit and they announced him and the announcer was super hype and was like, and it's Kevin Durant. And then you literally heard like what sounded like about 10 people clapping and cheering for Kevin Durant. And he had the most like the biggest like look of remorse on his face and like nervously touched his beard and stuff. And it was fantastic. I loved it. Yeah. It was such like a, what have I done look on his face. And it was quite priceless, and I'm good with it.
I'd like someone to like sync that up with like the Curb music and just turn it into like a GIF or something along those lines would be great. Just like the da, na, 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 na. I don't know. People watch it. But I don't want to lose my reputation as a Nets lover. And this way, if the Knicks do win, the Don Bolos of the world can use this audio as pornography. But I think the Nets win a close game. I think the Knicks will play them really, really well. And you're going to see just like an all-time effort from everyone on this team. Like RJ Barrett in particular, I think has a really kick-ass game. The Nets defense is not going to be very good this year. We mentioned DeAndre Jordan is pretty much done at this point. Jared Allen, like good shot blocker, but not a great overall defender. Torian Prince, very overrated on that end. Kyrie Irving, bad. Joe Harris, okay. Caris LeVert, okay. They just don't, especially like, that's obviously offensively is where Durant's going to benefit them the most, but that extra dominant defensive wing is going to make, I would say, almost as significant of a difference for them, because they really, really are going to be bad on that end throughout this year. And I think the Knicks will put up a whole lot of points, and it's going to be a fun back and forth game. I just think the Nets have a little bit more firepower down the stretch, but it'll be very winnable for the Knicks. Like if RJ or Julius get hot, like at the right time, sort of like what we saw in that preseason finale against the Pelicans, it'll be winnable for them. So I'm looking forward to it to conclude this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it'll just be, it's probably going to, honestly, it'll probably be a little overhyped, to be completely honest, but it should be hopefully good. Hopefully a good atmosphere with about half Knicks fans in there, as per usual, if not more. So I guess we will see later tonight when the Knicks visit the Nets, before then coming home to face the Celtics on Saturday night. That is all for today. So thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a game recap from the game on Locked On Knicks.